This is the final SmackDown tonight before Bad Blood in Atlanta tomorrow. No Cody Rhodes, no Roman Reigns, no Randy Orton, no Kevin Owens. So they were without their big guns tonight. And I will say that for a show where all of the heavy hitters were missing and all that star power was lacking here on the show, I thought this actually was one of the more enjoyable SmackDowns in a while. I really do. It was by no means a great show overall. It's not great in the way that Raw has been great on some weeks. But I enjoyed this show more than I have a lot of episodes of SmackDown over the last couple of months. We had the return of AJ Styles until they did an injury angle with him midway into his match tonight with Carmelo Hayes, which made for a very abrupt, very awkward ending to the match. Not sure where they're going with that, but AJ's return was tarnished. At first, I thought maybe possibly it was a legitimate injury, but I'm pretty sure it's not. We had our first dumpster match since 2017. You believe it's been that long? There's a reason why we don't get dumpster matches that often. Many of them could be dumpster fires. Tonight was not one of those times. And we had the first ladder match on SmackDown in 5 years for the tag team championship. I believe that meant the first tag team title ladder match, because I'm almost positive we've had at least one ladder match on SmackDown in the last 5 years. But that's what they said on the show, and the tag team titles were on the line. It was the Bloodline defending against DIY and the Street Profits. They wanted you to believe. They wanted you to believe that maybe, just maybe, tonight was the night that the Bloodline gets their comeuppance and they lose the tag team titles. And that's what they had me thinking. I thought that there was a chance, at least here, 24 hours before Bad Blood, maybe we'd get a Cody and Roman appearance. Maybe we'd get a run-in from KO and Randy Orton, who have been constantly screwed over by the Bloodline week after week after week. And maybe they would give them a little taste of their own medicine. And they would do it and put some heat on the babyfaces, which is why I thought maybe Cody and Roman would get involved, heading into Bad Blood. We're going to cost you guys the tag team titles. And yeah, it might be a cheap win if they have to help the Street Profits or help DIY win the titles. But because of that, I thought that there was a real possibility, not so much DIY, because they've had the titles recently, but I really thought there was a chance the Street Profits might finally pull it off tonight. And it would have been the right time for it, if you think about it, because the Bloodline could lose, given the stipulation, without having to be pinned. You don't have to worry about the Bloodline being pinned, if that's important to you. They could lose without taking the losing fall. And so I thought there was a chance, and then they won. They won because, of course, they did. But I really thought the Profits might get it tonight because they've lost enough. And how many times in the last several weeks have either Angelo Dawkins in a promo or the announcers on commentary, like tonight, made mention of the fact that, oh, it's been years since the Street Profits have been champions. They have not held gold here in WWE since 2021. They're due. They're overdue to be the champions. They keep talking about this, and you would think that it was leading to them actually winning the titles, but so far, no. They just keep losing. Every time they're in the ring, every time they have an opportunity, they constantly fall short. And I'm not even sure where you go now with these two. I really don't. I don't know. I don't know where you go now with the Street Profits. I'm less worried about DIY because, again, they had the titles recently, and I didn't expect them to win them tonight. But the Profits, just, I look at them, and they're a good team, and the people like them when they're out there, and Montez Ford, when he gets going, you saw it again tonight in this main event, you know, he gets all fired up, he gets the crowd all fired up, he's got that great babyface fire, very good at that, but at some point, you have to ask yourself, all this losing, what is it leading to? I don't know. I'm really not sure. What I do know, though, is that as far as ladder matches go, they didn't do anything too crazy, which isn't necessarily a bad thing. But I thought it was a wild close to the show, those last few minutes of the match. And shout out to Michael Cole, too, because I actually thought Cole did a really good job in those final few minutes of that ladder match. We're going to talk about this entire show. This is your Friday Night SmackDown review for October 4th, 2024. I am the Solemn Monster. Let's get into this show. They opened SmackDown tonight with country music artist Hardy. Not Matt Hardy. Not Jeff Hardy. Not Hardy the Horse. Hardy was in the middle of the ring to welcome Nashville to the show and to reintroduce, and I'm quoting here. Okay, I'm quoting to you exactly what he said. He introduced the phenomenal forearm, AJ Styles. This was AJ's first appearance since Clash at the Castle when he lost to Cody Rhodes. He's gotten some time off, hasn't been hurt or anything like that. They just didn't have anything for him to do. So he's had some time at home and to rest up, and now he's back. But that is how he was introduced here. The phenomenal forearm, AJ Styles. I don't know what that is, but there's only one phenomenal forearm, and it belongs to the one idiot in the comments under my Vince McMahon Netflix documentary review who said, "I stand with Vince. I stand with Vince." Yeah, I bet he gets a lot of use out of that forearm every night. So AJ got a warm welcome from the crowd, told the fans that he missed them all. He said that it was fitting that he was in Nashville because that's where it all started for him, and that's right. It was at the old TNA Asylum at the Nashville Fairgrounds, which was demolished 4 years ago. That is where AJ Styles got his first big break. Now, he was signed to WCW. Right at the very end there. Unfortunately for him, WCW went out of business. And he did get an offer to go to WWE Developmental, which I think was Ohio Valley at the time. But turned it down. I think his wife was going to school and he didn't want to leave her or force her to move. So he ended up in Nashville, you know, working for NWA TNA in those early days. And of course, the rest is history, as we all know. Hey, Snow Dog. I love you too, Snow Dog. So Styles said that he had done a lot of things over the last few months that he's not proud of, and maybe he won't be forgiven for, but he's back to restore his legacy. He said, despite everything, SmackDown is still the house that AJ Styles built. Carmelo Hayes interrupted and said that he's not surprised there isn't a long line of guys there to welcome him back, so he'll be that guy. He reintroduced himself to AJ and said he loves old-timers just like him. And Hayes said that he deserved that Legends contract that he probably signed. And then he ranted about how he deserved the U.S. title instead of LA Knight or Andrade. So AJ said that he's been in the ring with LA Knight. And he is relentless. They actually had that WrestleMania match this year. Said LA Knight even showed up at his house. Hayes said that he doesn't take advice from quitters. AJ said that he deserved that, but if Hayes really was him, like he likes to call himself, he would already be the United States champion. Hayes said that if AJ was truly phenomenal, he would already be the WWE champion. And AJ said that he was dressed to wrestle, and Carmelo Hayes was dressed to wrestle, and so why don't they have a match? To which Carmelo Hayes declined and said, nah, I'm good. I think I'm good. So LA Knight made his way out onto the stage as Hayes was about to leave the ring, and he mocked him running away from a fight. He said that that was a familiar sight. He then said that Hayes is always claiming to be him, but he was the guy who was going to get stomped out tonight. And Knight said that he could do it himself, or Hayes could beat AJ Styles right now, and then maybe he would go to Nick Aldis and give Hayes a U.S. title match. So he called for a referee. And that was the kickoff to our opening contest of the night. So we got AJ Styles back, and he's a babyface. He's got some work to do to play catch-up to Kane and the Big Show as far as babyface and heel turns back and forth. He's got some work to do before he catches up. But he's in the conversation. I feel like this guy's gone back and forth between babyface and heel more than most. So now he's a bit, but see, but that's where AJ at this stage of his career, and I say this like he's about to retire, but I mean, the guy's in the best shape of his entire life, even at the age of 45, 46, whatever he is. But AJ now is at that stage of his career where he's not going to be a featured player on a consistent basis, like in the main event mix all the time. He's a good utility guy. So whatever role they need him for, and honestly, this is the way that Kane and Big Show, speaking of which, this is why they were used that way. They just got to that stage of their career where they had the equity. They had the credibility. And WWE knew, Vince McMahon knew, in this case, Triple H knows, that if he needs to use these guys in a main event role, it won't take much in the eyes of the fans to put them back at the top of the card, and people are going to accept them in a world championship match. In the meantime, though, he can plug him into whatever role he needs him in at the moment, at any given moment. That may be a heel. That may be a babyface. It may be on Raw. It may be on SmackDown. It may be against the new guy. It may be against the veteran. They're a utility player. That's really what AJ is at this stage of his career as far as how WWE views him. Just look at the way he's been booked. I mean, somebody made a comment before that AJ really hasn't done much or been used, you know, in any meaningful way since the Boneyard match against The Undertaker at WrestleMania in, what was that, 2020. And that's true. What has AJ Styles really done in the last 4 years? I mean, I'm talking like something meaningful. Closest thing was probably this program he had with Cody a few months ago. And I thought both matches were really good, and then it was over. And it's like, well, now what do we do? You know, how do we use AJ Styles now? So, yeah, you can use him as a babyface or a heel, and he'll probably flip-flop a few more times. But that's why. You know, because that's the role that he is now in. You know, it's like when somebody, if you're an executive in a company and they make you the chairman emeritus, which is kind of a ceremonial title, that's really what AJ is right now. You know, he's got that ceremonial title and he's there and he's respected, but, you know, he's not necessarily going to be in the top mix. Although I have an idea for using him in the top mix. We'll get to that in a second. That's what I would rather see him doing right now. After a break, this will get people talking. They aired a vignette. It is a very Need for Speed-esque vignette. On the streets with police sirens and speeding cars and the words "coming soon" flashed across the screen. And if you squinted, because there was a part of the vignette at the very end where they really just very quickly ran through a bunch of images before the words "coming soon" appeared on the screen. But if you really look closely, you see a fist. Not the SmackDown fist, but you would see a fist. And apparently, there is a Joe Louis monument in Detroit in the form of a giant fist. Detroit, of course, being the Motor City. That's no coincidence. So this was a coming soon vignette for the Motor City Machine Guns. No doubt about it. I thought it was strange when they weren't on that first NXT CW show this week in Chicago, because I thought for sure they would be a surprise on that show. Is there a chance they could still be a surprise on the St. Louis show this coming week? Yeah, it's possible, but it's very unlikely. So I thought it was strange they weren't there this week, and now we know why. It appears that the Machine Guns are heading to SmackDown. And it makes me wonder. My mind begins to wonder if the plan wasn't for them to be on NXT for a little while, with the Lucha Bros going to the main roster. Because that was one of the rumors, is that the Lucha Bros are interested or they're on their way to WWE and they're going to bypass NXT and go to the main roster. Well, they lost out on the Lucha Bros for the time being because Tony Khan decided to tack time onto their contracts and be petty about it. So now they're stuck in AEW possibly for another year. They're not going anywhere anytime soon. And so I wonder if plans changed. And because they lost that on the Lucha Bros, if now the Machine Guns have been bumped up to the main roster. Just what I'm thinking as far as how this thing played out. Hopefully they will retain their name, because it would be ridiculous after being the Motor City Machine Guns for 20 years if they had to change their name. I'm assuming that it will be the same name. So they are heading to SmackDown soon, and that's great. That's great. The more teams they could get in the tag team division on both shows, the better. And Sabin and Shelley bring a wealth of experience. They've been doing this for so long, but they can still go. It's not like, oh, these guys are, you know, they're washed. You know, they can't hang anymore. Anybody who has seen the Machine Guns in the last couple of years, as I have, I've got to call their matches, even in House of Glory. Or you saw the singles run that Alex Shelley had. He was the Impact World Champion. These guys are anything but washed. So they're going to be a quality addition to that tag team division, and I'm happy for them because now, after all these years, better late than never, they're finally going to get a chance to show what they can do in front of the widest, biggest possible audience of their entire career. So I think that's very cool. So we had AJ Styles one-on-one against Carmelo Hayes. LA Knight sat ringside for the match. Hayes got a springboard clothesline early and a two count out of it. Hayes then threw AJ outside. He joined him out there before the show cut to another break. I swear, they went to a commercial. They came back. The match started. It could not have been 2 minutes before they went to another commercial break. I was like, are you kidding me? So back to a break we go. And as it turned out, something happened during the break that would be kind of important. When the show came back, Carmelo was working a half crab. Styles made it to the ropes for a break. Looked like he was favoring his ankle. Something had happened during the break. He fired up, he hit some strikes, and then a pop-up neck breaker across his own knee. And then Styles, you know, sold the leg. Charles Robinson, because AJ dragged himself over to the corner, and he's sitting in the corner. And Charles Robinson goes over to check on him, and then he calls the match up. Now, he doesn't put the X up. You see them do that X symbol sometimes, which is a sign of a legitimate injury. He never did that. But he just immediately went and called the match off. And the fans booed, and the doctor, Dr. Amon, the infamous Dr. Amon, if you remember the Punk lawsuit, he comes over to go check on AJ and talk to him. And, you know, at this point, you're wondering, like, wait a minute. Is this an angle? Is this real? We don't know. But the match has been called off. And AJ ended up, you know, he got out of the ring, and he was kind of hobbling on his own and hobbled to the back. And that was the end of that. In the ring, as they were announcing Carmelo Hayes as the winner via ref stoppage, LA Knight gets in the ring, and you're thinking maybe this is an audible. He gets in the ring and he delivers a BFT to Carmelo Hayes, who took the bump right on top of his head and then did a flip over. This was a hell of a sell. You know, we have a Hell in a Cell match tomorrow night at Bad Blood. This was a hell of a sell by Carmelo Hayes. I didn't know for sure if the injury was a work or not. It was kind of 50-50 there. I was leaning towards angle just because, you know, he hurt himself and then they allowed him to work another 5 minutes on an injured ankle, which I suppose is possible because you could always have this, you know, look, they're not going to want the match to end. If they got hurt, but not seriously, and they're like, you know, we don't want this match stopped, they could tell the ref, no, I'm okay, it's fine, right? So maybe it was one of those things. But still, I mean, they let him continue working on this, and clearly he was favoring his leg. So I was leaning towards angle to begin with, and then it was pretty much confirmed. Later on in the back, they cut to the trainer's room. AJ's in there, his boot is off, his sock is off. Dr. Amon is there, he's touching the ankle, he's feeling around to see, and he's, you know, he's evaluating the injury. And they said this footage was from before and that AJ has since been taken to a local hospital for further evaluation. So it was a work. It was a work. And that's good because the first thing I thought of was the broken ankle that AJ suffered 2 years ago. It was the very end, if you remember, the very end of 2022. And he broke his ankle. I think it was at a live event. And he missed WrestleMania the following year. That would have been last year's WrestleMania because he was out for a number of months. So you see this and it's like, oh God, not again. Plus it's his first match back, right? He hasn't wrestled. I don't know that he's had a match at all since the July match in Japan against Marufuji for Pro Wrestling Noah. So here he is now, you know, months later, first match back, he gets hurt. Boy, that would suck. But I don't know what the injury stuff is leading to. But I was saying before, you know, AJ is kind of looked at by them as this great utility player. You can do anything with this guy, and you know he's going to deliver as a babyface or a heel. What I would like to see, and you've heard me talk about this recently, we have Bad Blood tomorrow. And on the Bad Blood card is a Hell in a Cell match between CM Punk and Drew McIntyre. And it is very likely that CM Punk is going to win that match. That is who I think is going to win that match. But it almost doesn't even matter whether Drew wins or Punk wins. This is the end for the two of them. This issue needs to be over. Hell in a Cell is the blow-off. This feud between them, though, has been such that it just feels like one show is just not big enough for the both of them. And so when this is over, one of them should be on a different show. Punk is not leaving Raw. So long as Roman and Cody and them are on SmackDown, Punk is not leaving Raw. Especially not if they're maybe going to do something with him and Rollins heading into WrestleMania. I would move Drew McIntyre over to SmackDown. I have talked about the issues they have on SmackDown with the lack of top heels, which is also why it was curious that AJ came back as a babyface when they don't need more babyfaces, they need heels. And maybe that'll change soon if Randy Orton and Kevin Owens go heel. But right now they need heels. McIntyre would fit perfectly. They could use him now more than ever on SmackDown. So why not work a trade between the two brands where you have McIntyre go to SmackDown, in exchange AJ Styles, right, newly babyface, goes to Raw. Styles has done all he can do on SmackDown. He's already challenged Cody for the WWE title. What else is he going to do? Move him over to Raw. What I would like to see, I would love to see a program built up for WrestleMania next year with Gunther defending the World Heavyweight Championship against AJ Styles. And you tell that story with AJ about he's got to win the world title one more time. He doesn't know how many more opportunities he's going to have left. It's been years since he's been the WWE champion. He's never been the World Heavyweight Champion before. He was in the finals of that tournament when that title was first established last year, and he lost to Seth Rollins. But he wants to be the world champion. He and Gunther have never wrestled before. That's a match I would like to see. As great as the match was between Randy Orton and Gunther in Berlin, I think that AJ and Gunther could have an even better match. So that's what I would do. There's no indication of that. I don't know where the injury story is going to go, but that's a move that I think I would make coming out of Bad Blood. And maybe there's a chance they could do it. Probably not, but that's something that I would like to see. And shout out, because you guys have been going crazy in the chat with these gifted memberships. Fire Panda, David, again, man, thank you. Thank you very much. I can't even keep track of it all. This is insane. We had Chelsea Green one-on-one with Meechin in a dumpster match. First dumpster match in 7 years. Since Braun Strowman and Kalisto on Monday Night Raw. A match that I know it took place, but I have no memory of what happened in the match itself. I guess I've just sort of blanked it from my memory. I couldn't tell you a fucking thing that happened in that match, although I'm sure that it did not end well for Kalisto. I don't know if he won or lost, but I'm sure when it was over, it did not end well for Kalisto. Because I think that, 2017, that was still Braun in that destroyer mode, where he was like overturning things and breaking things and doing all those big spots. Yeah, I think he overturned a bus on one episode of Raw. So Kalisto, I mean, please, he could eat Kalisto and then crap him out the next day. So they had a kendo stick fight to start the match. Chelsea hit a Canadian destroyer. Chelsea then tossed Meechin through the ropes and into the dumpster, which was at ringside, right up against the edge of the ring. But then she had to scramble out to the floor to try to close the lid, and Meechin stopped her from closing the lid and then hit her with some bags of trash. Both women ended up back in the ring where Meechin hit Eat Defeat. Then she placed a garbage can over Chelsea's head, laid her down on the mat, and hit a top rope senton. And boy, she came down full force right on top of this garbage can and made a huge dent. How Chelsea didn't end up with a broken nose, I'll never know. I mean, that's got to be scary. I mean, you can't see anything. All right, you've got this thing over your head. You have no idea that it's coming. I wasn't paying attention to see if the referee maybe was like tapping her foot or something like that. Sometimes they have those little hand signs, but man, she landed right on top of her. Meechin then pulled out a table from underneath the ring outside. And she takes the table and she places it on top of the dumpster, like across the dumpster. And the fans are starting to get excited because they can sense that there's a big spot coming. Piper Niven showed up and attacked Meechan, and she went for a cannonball against the side of the dumpster, but Meechan moved out of the way. Piper collided with the dumpster. So now we have Chelsea and Meechan, and they're battling it out on the apron, right in front of the open dumpster. Meechan scoops up Chelsea on her shoulders and gets her up in a powerbomb position. And she proceeds to powerbomb Chelsea Green through the table, and in so doing, both women end up inside the dumpster. And they cut to some crowd shots. The people are shocked. They're chanting, holy shit. And surprisingly, they were not muting the chants. That's the thing that drives me nuts. Like, some weeks, most weeks even, they'll mute the chants. And then times like this, they won't bother. It's like, it's totally inconsistent. Just leave it alone. Just leave it alone. See, it's one of those things where people tell me like, oh, well, they have to. They have to mute the chants or else they're going to get fined. Really? Well, they weren't muting them here. Did they fall asleep at the switch? It was actually kind of refreshing to not have the audio muting every other second. So this was a huge spot. People reacted big. I thought it was a great spot. Meechan climbed out of the dumpster and slammed the lid shut for the win. Chelsea was covered in goo, garbage, when she eventually crawled out of the dumpster. You know what? They made the most of the stipulation. I mean, it's a silly stipulation. And I guess it's not really all that different than a casket match. They're just using a dumpster instead of a casket. But I thought that they made the most of the stipulation. I thought the finish was great. Yeah, the match itself was fine, your standard, you know, no pun intended, garbage match. Kendo sticks and tables and all that. But I thought the way they set that finish up with the table across the dumpster, just to give it a little something extra, instead of just throwing somebody into the dumpster, they incorporated a table bump into it. So I thought that was kind of clever, and it was a very clever way of getting the crowd to pop huge for it, which they did. And also, it was a good payoff to a mid-card feud that has been playing itself out on television now for several weeks. And it may not be the most exciting storyline in the world, but it was a women's mid-card storyline that did not revolve around the championship, and it had a proper payoff to it. And Meechan stood tall, she got a big win, which she doesn't always get, and the fans reacted big to it. And I think Chelsea is great. Chelsea has taken some pretty wicked table bumps. I mean, this one wasn't too bad. This was nothing compared to Money in the Bank. I think back to Money in the Bank when she got pushed off the ladder and went through the tables down below on the floor. So between tonight and between Money in the Bank, she's taken some rough bumps, but I like Chelsea. I do. I think Chelsea's one of those people also who you just give her something to do. When you really do find something for her and you give her something to do, she'll take it and she'll make the most of it. And she'll try to make it as entertaining as she possibly can. You know, her character is played up mostly for comedy, but she does it really well. Backstage, Bianca Belair and Jade Cargill, they told Naomi that the three of them are going to be hosting Bad Blood tomorrow. They started to dance. Bayley appeared. She danced very awkwardly with them. And this caused Bianca and Jade to roll their eyes at her, and then Bayley asked for a minute to talk to Naomi. She told Naomi that she was going to call out Nia Jax, and when she beats Nia at Bad Blood tomorrow, Naomi is going to get the first shot at the title. This is not the first time that she has said this, and the fact that she keeps saying it should tell you that Bayley is not, in fact, going to win the championship, so Naomi doesn't have to worry about getting a title shot because Bayley's not winning the belt. After a break, Bayley did make her way down to the ring. She said that she would get right to the point. I love those promos when they get right to the point. She called out Nia Jax and told her that she had something to say to her face. So Nia made her entrance with Tiffany Stratton. Bayley told Nia that she's never understood the importance of the title to people like her. She just doesn't understand. And Bayley starts reading off a list of former champions. And she names Molly Holly, Victoria, Beth Phoenix, Trish Stratus, Lita. These are all women that have held the championship and made it feel larger than life. That does not describe Nia Jax. She said there are only two people who can take that title from Nia. One of them is her, tomorrow night. And I just assumed that the other person she was going to refer to was her good friend Naomi, but it wasn't. She said the other person is Tiffany Stratton, Nia's friend. And Bailey said it's not because Tiffany is good enough, it's because as soon as she gets tired of being berated and abused, she is going to get hit in the head, Nia will, with the briefcase, and Tiffany is going to take her title away. So Tiffany was very upset about that comment and that she's not good enough to beat Nia. And she put her foot in her mouth by saying that she could, in fact, beat Nia. Then, this was my favorite part. She clearly, very clearly and accidentally referred to Bailey by her shoot name. And she called her Pam and then corrected and called her Bailey. She seemed nervous. There was something with Tiffany in this promo that just felt off. She didn't have a lot to say, but I don't know. She just seemed nervous. She seemed a little off tonight. So Bailey said, well, at least she could respect Nia's dominance, but had absolutely no respect for Tiffany, and said that she would rather bow to a queen than be patronized by a stupid bitch. Well, this escalated quickly. A brawl broke out. Bailey took out Stratton with a knee lift. Nia hit a few shots, but Bailey hit her with the briefcase. Then she held up the women's title. Tiffany had the briefcase back, and she's looking over at Nia. As Nia is pulling herself, using the ropes back to her feet, and she turns around in time to see Tiffany kind of eyeballing her. And there's this moment where Nia's like, whoa, what's going on here? Like, what were you thinking? And then she left the ring. So they continue to tee up these teases for Tiffany cashing in on Nia. They want you to think that it's going to happen at Bad Blood. They want you to think that it's going to happen so you'll tune in to find out. I will say this. I don't envy the spot that Bailey and Nia are likely going to be in tomorrow night following Hell in a Cell. The last rumored match order that I saw, and it's very possible this could all change. I have a feeling that there's going to be an ongoing discussion well into the day tomorrow about what match should open the show and what match should close the show. As of this moment, it sounds like Hell in a Cell is going to open the show. And they're going to close with Cody and Roman against Solo and Jacob Fatu. The last match order that I saw, which was a couple of days ago, had Hell in a Cell opening, and then immediately after Hell in a Cell, this match between Bailey and Nia. And if that is the match order tomorrow, I don't envy them being in that spot. I don't envy anybody having to follow Hell in a Cell. You know, a big blow off to a 9-month feud, 10-month feud like this. So if that's the spot they end up in, it's going to be a tough hill for them to climb. But a cash in certainly would get the crowd's attention if we got it, because I think that's the direction we're headed in. Chelsea Green and Piper Niven, they were walking backstage, and they ran into Pretty Deadly, who were selling how bad Chelsea smelled. She still had all the goo on her, the I don't know what else to call it, the garbage, the goo. What else do you call it, right? So she's walking around, and everybody's walking past her. They had Theory and Waller, and they're like, oh, God, they're like, she smells awful. Angel and Humberto walk by, pinching their noses. They can barely stand it. And then finally, she walks up to Nick Aldis. And Aldis apologizes. He made a bunch of really bad garbage puns. Sidro would approve. Said that she needed a shower. After she walked away, Carmelo Hayes walked up to Aldis and said that he beat AJ Styles. I want my U.S. title match now. When do I get it? And Aldis said, we'll talk about it next week, because he was off to go check on AJ's status to see how he was doing. Then we had a singles match. Tiffany stayed out there because it was Tiffany Stratton and Naomi one-on-one. Naomi was on the top rope late in the match, hit a crossbody. Stratton, though, rolled through, muscled her up onto her shoulders, but Naomi worked out of it, went for a split-legged moonsault in the corner. Stratton moved, though. She tried then the prettiest moonsault ever, but Naomi moved, and on her way down, Tiffany rolled through. The two of them traded roll-up attempts. Naomi ultimately was the one to get the better of it with a crucifix pin. and she pins Ms. Money in the Bank. Big win here for Naomi. And so continues the long-standing WWE tradition of Money in the Bank losers, where you win the briefcase and you get booked like a geek. Tiffany Stratton is not immune, because that's exactly what she has been booked like ever since she won that friggin' briefcase. And let me point out something else that almost doesn't even seem real. Okay, it's bad enough that they keep beating her. And I know she's going to win the title, and when she wins the title, right, oh, all's forgiven, she's going to be the champion, but she has not won a singles match since winning the briefcase at Money in the Bank. That was in July, but it gets even worse. Not only has she not won a singles match since she became Ms. Money in the Bank, Tiffany Stratton has not won a singles match on TV since March. You'd have to go all the way back a month before WrestleMania. That's the last time she won a match, a singles match. I think she's won one tag team match on TV in the time since. Not one singles victory on TV since the beginning of March. That is inexcusable. How does that even happen? So if it ever feels like, boy, Tiffany Stratton, they've cooled her off a little bit. Now you know why. You know, when I realized that, I couldn't believe it. I had to look it over again, but no, there it is. So she continues to lose. In the back later on, Nia Jax approached Tiffany, who looked depressed after her loss, and told her that she thinks she's teasing her with this whole cash-in thing. She told Tiffany she should focus on Liv Morgan's women's world title match tomorrow, because that was a cash-in that she could actually survive. And she then told Tiffany, swear to me that you will never betray me. And Stratton obeyed and called Nia her queen. She's got to cash that thing in tomorrow. She has to. I mean, how much longer are they going to drag this out for? We've seen people that will carry that briefcase around for the better part of a year, right? 9 months, 12 months. But they're not always drawing attention to it. This is now like a weekly occurrence where they're teasing you. Oh, is she going to cash in on Nia? Oh, no, she didn't. Is she going to cash? So there's a very short shelf life on this. And it just feels to me like tomorrow would be a good time for her to cash in. And cash in and win, not cash in and lose. Because it's one thing if they beat her and beat her and beat her and then she wins the title. It's like, okay, that's still stupid. But at least now she's got the title, right? She's got something to show for it. If she loses and loses and loses like this and then loses the cash in, I mean, that would be beyond horrible. So she's got to win. Tomorrow night, I think she should cash in that briefcase. We know Charlotte Flair is going to be on her way back very soon. Charlotte and Nia, obviously, that's a whole queen versus queen. They're going to do that feud. It's inevitable. But I do think the WrestleMania match that we're looking at next year for the Women's Championship is probably going to be Tiffany Stratton defending against Charlotte Flair. So I do think she's getting the title soon, but I think tomorrow night is the perfect time to pull the trigger and do the title change. Now, backstage, the Bloodline was walking through the hallway as Jacob Fatu talked about his love for his tribal chief. He said that his Tongan brothers love the tribal chief. Others will learn to love him as well. And he name-dropped the Street Profits and DIY. He mentioned Cody Rhodes, and he mentioned even Roman Reigns will have to learn to love the tribal chief. Or they would be forced to acknowledge the true tribal chief that is Solo Sikoa. If you were to take a drink every time Jacob Fatu here mentioned the words tribal chief, just make sure that you call an Uber so that you can get home. That would be my only advice to you, because I guarantee you that your blood alcohol content is going to be way beyond the legal limit for whatever state you live in. Today's episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. When you're a kid, you learn new things every day from your parents, from your teachers. Everything you do, you're learning something. As adults, though, we sometimes lose that curiosity. Me? I've wanted to learn a new language. I took Spanish for 6 years in school because I had to, and I'm still not conversational in it. But they have all these apps now. I really want to jump back on the train and try again. These past few months, I've learned a lot when it comes to graphics work. You can see it in the thumbnails and the layouts every week on the YouTube channel. I learn from the best. For you, therapy can help you reconnect with your sense of wonder because, again, you're never too old to learn something new. Therapy can improve your life in some pretty amazing ways, whether it's something as simple as how to be more productive or dealing with something more serious that may be causing a lot of stress in your life. Therapy can teach you the coping skills that you need to break through that ceiling. It can help you be the best version of yourself. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online. It's designed to fit into your schedule, no matter how busy you think you may be. All you do to get started is just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and have peace of mind, knowing that you can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Rediscover your curiosity with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/Solomonster today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Solomonster. So Tama Tonga and Tongaloa, they made their ring entrance by themselves for the main event, which was a triple threat ladder match for the tag team titles. Tama Tonga and Tongaloa defending their titles against Johnny Gargano and Tommaso Ciampa, as well as Montez Ford and Angelo Dawkins of the Street Profits, who Michael Cole pointed out on commentary have not held gold since 2021. Actually, they would have been silver. You want to be really technical about it, it would have been silver, but that's neither here nor there. They have not been champions for a very long time. So all three teams were battling on ladders. The Bloodline hit everybody with a ladder. Dawkins got suplexed onto a ladder. A little bit later on, B-Fab is outside. She's telling Montez Ford to go get a table. And he fishes around under the ring, and he retrieves a table. That took us into a commercial break. Back from the break, Tama Tonga was a victim of a shatter machine off of a ladder by DIY. Tongaloa found himself with his head caught in between the rungs of a ladder as DIY hit him with their meet-in-the-middle finish. Gargano set up a ladder, and he started climbing. Dawkins, though, cut him off. Gargano came back, though, with a spear and took him down. Ciampa tried to climb the ladder but got cut off. And then Montez Ford hit a top rope blockbuster over a ladder that was in the corner. And he barely cleared the ladder. There was not a lot of space. He barely cleared it. And because of that, he ended up landing. Usually he hits it flush. You know, he goes over and it looks great. It looks perfect. But because he was going over a ladder here, I guess on the way down, his body, whatever, it kind of twisted a little bit, and he landed like on his side, and he narrowly avoided catastrophe because Tommaso Ciampa almost came down right on top of him. And they replayed it a couple of times, so it was definitely not the smoothest blockbuster, but I guess it was effective enough. So B-Fab, now we're outside the ring a few minutes later, and the Bloodline is out there, and they're stalking. They got chairs. B-Fab grabbed the chair from out of Tama Tonga's hands. So the Bloodline turns around to face her. And Tama Tonga's out there and he's doing his whole, yeah, 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 yeah. You know, he's like stalking this woman. Meanwhile, behind them, DIY, they have chairs and they blast the Bloodline in the back with them. Gargano and Ciampa then place Tongaloa across a table on the floor. I believe that was the table that Montez Ford pulled out before the break. They lay Tongaloa out across the chair. And now Gargano and Ciampa are yelling for Montez Ford to go up to the top. So he goes all the way up to the top rope, and Montez Ford comes flying off the top, splashes Tongaloa through the table on the floor. So that was a hell of a bump. So now they're both splattered on the ground. Gargano and Ciampa, they then clear off the announce desk. And Angelo Dawkins is there, and they all work together to hoist up Tama Tonga for a Bloodline-esque triple powerbomb through the announce desk. And they put him right through the desk. Now, those were two high-impact spots that you would think, well, that's it. The Bloodline's been taken out. They've neutralized the Bloodline. It's going to come down now to the two babyface teams. May the best man win. And then maybe the Street Profits end up coming out of this, the new tag team champions. DIY, they take out Angelo Dawkins when they realize the situation now, right? It's down to the two teams. So they dump Dawkins over the barricade by the timekeeper's area. They grab a ladder, they slide it into the ring. Ciampa is climbing the ladder, but here's Montez Ford. He's back up. And he climbs up to the top rope and like Spider-Man, he jumps from the top rope, lands perfectly on the ladder, right? I said Montez Ford was on fire here in this match. So he lands on the ladder and they're fighting on the ladder. Now all the babyfaces are in the ring and they're on the ladder and they're jockeying for position and they're fighting. And here comes fucking Tama Tonga and Tonga Loa. And this isn't that long after we saw these two bumps that they took on the outside on the floor. Now they're back in the ring and they push the baby faces off onto two other ladders that were propped up against the corner on opposite sides of the ring. So you got two baby faces crash through that ladder and it breaks. The other two baby faces on the other side of the ladder fall off. They crash through the other one and that ladder breaks. They've all been taken out now. Now it's just Tama Tonga and Tonga Loa. Tama Tonga holds the ladder, because the ladder was kind of weebly and wobbling. Tama Tonga holds the ladder so that Tonga Loa could climb, and he unhooks the titles. Now, it's Tonga Loa, so I was half expecting him to drop the fucking things, but he didn't. He unhooked them, and the Bloodline retained the tag team titles. There was a lot of good action here in this match. Nothing too extreme, and I don't even think that's a bad thing, to be honest with you. Some of these ladder matches that, even this year, in both companies, but especially that, what was that last one that I saw in AEW? They're just always trying to figure out, like, what big crazy shit can we do that's not been done before? And I hold my breath every single time. So the fact that they did not go balls out with some of the craziest, most dangerous shit, I don't see that as being a bad thing. But there was just enough action, though, I think, to keep it interesting. The key, though, was really those last couple of minutes. I thought that was the best part of the entire match, save for Tama Tonga and Tonga Loa recovering from those two bumps within two or three minutes. I thought that was ridiculous. I really did. I thought that was ridiculous, especially the Tama Tonga one. Because how many times have we seen the Bloodline do that to other people? And it's usually an injury angle. And they're out for, you know, a limited period of time. Randy Orton, Kevin Owens. I mean, Paul Heyman's not a wrestler, so whatever. You know, they put Paul Heyman through the table. We haven't seen him since. But we saw it with Orton. We saw it with KO. And we may not see them for weeks. Tama Tonga gets put through an announce table here with a triple powerbomb, and he's back up to his feet 2.5 minutes later. So I thought that was a little ridiculous. But the Bloodline stands tall now heading into Bad Blood tomorrow night. They still have the gold. Again, no Cody, no Roman. We got some video packages to hype things up for tomorrow. But I think that given so many of the big names were not there tonight, what we did end up with I thought was actually pretty entertaining. And again, I don't know if I'm in the minority on that, but I actually enjoyed this SmackDown more than I have most of the SmackDowns in recent weeks, especially for a go-home show where you just don't expect anything to happen. I thought maybe there would be a title change, you know, again, provided that somebody interfered to try to screw over the Bloodline. They weren't going to lose clean. So I thought maybe there was a chance of that, but it's a go-home show. It's all going to be geared towards Bad Blood. You can't go into the go-home shows expecting something big is going to happen. They almost feel like throwaway shows. They really do. And most of the time, in all honesty, they usually are. But in this case, I thought it was a pretty entertaining show overall. Not the best show all week, but it was not a bad show at all. Take a look at the SmackDown poll. What did you think of the final SmackDown before Bad Blood? 81.7% thumbs up and 18% thumbs down. Wow. At Solomonster. On X, you guys can go vote. Rebel doesn't seem very enthusiastic. Rebel, don't call her Reba. Where's she been? Actually, she was having some health issues. I hope she's doing okay. I do believe she had said something about that on Instagram a while back. So hopefully Rebel is on the mend and doing okay. We got a bunch of messages here. Oh my God. How's your dad? Says Justin G. Could be your next AEW World Heavyweight Champion right there. Christian Cage. It's possible. Oh, man. We got a lot of questions and comments and messages to get through here. I love it. I love it, man. You guys are killing it on the Super Chats, which actually puts a smile on my face because I missed the Dynamite stream.
I love you, Solo!
Hey, Ian, thank you. I was not here on Wednesday night, and that was actually a big Dynamite, and I will be reviewing that on the podcast this weekend. But because I missed that stream, we didn't have our usual get-together, so this will help kind of make up for that. So I do like that. And we are currently sitting, by the way, at 340 likes. So we're lagging on the likes. So let's see if we can get that up if we wanted to be the booker later. Fire Panda got us started here with a big bomb earlier on. Says, boobs are temporary, but the GWO is forever. That is true. I suppose that is true. Whereas the boobs will eventually go down, it will eventually sag, the GWO never does. Thank you, Fire Panda. Hey, CJ is with us, one of our mods. Shout out to CJ in the chat. Prince Vegeta, is it fair to say that creative-wise, AJ Styles' career has taken a downturn ever since the Boneyard match? That's the message I was referring to before. Yeah, I mean, again, he just is not, he's not been a priority booking-wise since then. I think that's more than fair to say. I mean, all you have to do is watch the show. Just use your own two eyes. You can see it yourself. One of the reasons why I think there's a great story there to tell with him, where he's trying to win one more championship before that window closes, you know, on his career. And I do think he will. I think at some point he will be world champion or WWE champion at least one more time. He's not done yet. But there is a story to tell there. And, you know, when I pitched the idea before about him and Gunther at WrestleMania next year, it doesn't mean that AJ has to win. I just really would like to see that match. He could win. Doesn't mean he has to. And then you still have that story where he's trying to win a championship. Dev to Dust, Transformers, Thundercats, or He-Man? I was a He-Man kid, but I was also a Thundercats kid. Probably a little bit more He-Man than Thundercats, but they're almost equal. Transformers is at the bottom of the pile. I actually wasn't really a big Transformers viewer as a kid. I don't know why. Thundercats and He-Man, though, for sure. Chris Lloyd with the 20. Hey, Chris, what's going on? Tiffy had been losing, and Nia is berating her. Is this building to sympathy for Tiffany for when she cashes in on Nia, and how long do they wait until the cash-in? I don't wait longer than another 24 hours. Honestly, I do it tomorrow. I think we've seen enough of this. So I'm ready for her to cash in tomorrow. She won the briefcase in July, so now it's October. It's like, it's been a few months. You know, Damian Priest held onto the briefcase for what? Was it 9 months? Right? We don't need to wait 9 months to see her cash in. Mr. Rod with the 11. Wild game last night with the Mets and the Brewers. Happy early birthday, Solo. Hope it turns out great. Thank you, sir. I know what I'll be doing on my birthday. I'm going to be recording the next podcast. That is what I will be doing. So thank you. Boots. I think Larry is going heel at Bad Blood and costing Punk the match. Long-term booking that began at Brawl Out. That would be something, wouldn't it? Larry holds Punk responsible for what happened to him, supposedly happened to him, at Brawl Out. And he's been playing the long game, waiting for the right moment to strike. That would be quite the story arc. And then Drew gets to come out every week with Larry on a leash. He'll have the bracelet on his wrist. He'll have Punk's dog. Then he just needs Punk's woman, right? He just needs Punk's wife at that point. JR Vacher, let's fucking go. Happy Taylor Swift song Eve. Happy early birthday solo. Plant, trim, or chop. The Disciple, The Booty Man, or Zodiac. I'm not planting any of them. I might plant them maybe in some kind of nuclear war zone, but I'm going to chop them all. Because I think they're all useless. And none of them drew a dime. Kind of weird to say, but I probably would draw better than all three of them combined. The Rabbit Wolverine, LC Killer. The Bad Blood theme should be Taylor Swift Bad Blood song because the Swifty his money. Maybe he means the Swifty is money. Sidro with the 12 says, why are barbers always on time? They know a lot of shortcuts. Also, why shouldn't you play hide and seek at a hospital? You'll always be found in the ICU.
You suck.
P.S. My new beats are fire. Let me know what you think. Well, link me up and I'll try to listen. I get so many messages, sometimes I feel like I miss stuff. But yeah, I'll check them out. But Sidro, my goodness. They seem to get worse and worse. What was my reaction to Mantar in the Vince document? Yeah, Mantar got about 3 seconds of airtime in the Vince McMahon documentary. If you blinked, you may have missed him, but he was in there. I was very excited to see Mantar. Probably more than I should have been. Jamie Dorsch, happy early birthday. What are some of your favorite matches from October? I think the greatest probably October match of all time. The first Hell in a Cell, Shawn Michaels and The Undertaker, Bad Blood, 1997, right? Doesn't get any better than that. John Cena and Randy Orton had an Iron Man match, and it might have been at Bragging Rights. I want to say maybe 2009. Pretty sure it was 2009. That actually was, it's not my favorite Iron Man match, but it actually was a pretty good match, I thought. So that one jumps out at me, but I mean, it's kind of like Hell in a Cell, and then everything else is just sort of a distant second to me. George G. Petty III, Tony turning into the thing he hated the most, Vinnie Mac. Apparently he learned. He learned from Vince McMahon. RojoBear24, the only way Lucha Bros can get out of their contracts is by picking a fight with Jungle Boy. It did wonders for CM Punk. I think Tony is hip to that. Yeah, that's probably what they should do. They should pick a fight with somebody. Isn't that the way it's usually done? Arabian Night 2000 with the new vignette. Being probably for the Motor City Machine Guns going straight to the main roster. Do you think WWE altered this decision after not signing the Lucha Bros? I do. That's my theory. Sidro, ironic, AJ received a calf crusher of sorts. You're just full of them, aren't you? You are just full of them. Let's go back to some of the early ones here. I'm trying to mix them up. There were some early ones that came in before the stream. Oh, it's our boy Give Me Backshot Solomonster, which I will not do. I know everyone will be looking forward to the match between Oba and Gunther, understandably, but my God, imagine the promos as well. I said it in my NXT review the other night, you know, Oba Femi. He really does. He possesses all of the tools to be the guy in WWE. And it's not just that he's got the size, clearly. He looks like a very intimidating man. He can work. He can talk. So he's got the charisma. He's got the look, the size, the ability. You know, it's just checking all those boxes off. And then you put him in there with somebody like Gunther. And I think that's a match that's at least 2 years away, maybe three. But I do think at some point we get that match, and I think it's going to be huge. I do. Joseph Brooks, buy, sell, rent on the more shockingly good match with Vince McMahon, WrestleMania 17, WrestleMania 19, WrestleMania 22. They were all good. 17 has the best moment when Linda rises from the chair and you see the entire crowd, and then she kicks him in the nuts and everybody loses their mind. But as a match, I think as a match, I may have to go with 22. I remember thinking, like, okay, Shawn Michaels has got to work his WrestleMania magic here. And he did. Like he always did. I think I would go 22. And then, see, the story in 17, though, was really what carried that match. You know, Trish turning on Vince and then Linda turning on. It was basically Vince getting his comeuppance. But I think I would go 22, and then if we're just talking strictly as a match, 19, and then 17. Ian Gomes. Is it Gomes or Gomez? I'm going to say Gomes. Started my new job, and these last 2 weeks have been as boring as fuck, and now I regret accepting the job. What are some matches that you regret watching or any job you regret working at? Well, I'm going to go Hell in a Cell, 2019, Seth Rollins and The Fiend. That was on my birthday. I regret watching that. As far as the job goes, brother, it's only been 2 weeks. My advice to you would be give it a little more time. Sometimes it takes a while to get acclimated. And look, a paycheck is a paycheck. But I would say after, you know, a month or two, if you're still not happy, then just bounce. Find something better. You know, you don't want to go into work and be miserable every day for the rest of your life. Jake, just showing some love for the goat. Thank you, Solo. Thank you, Jake. The Real CS, while I'm glad Sabin and Shelley are going straight to SmackDown, I'd be lying by saying I wasn't really looking forward to the Motor City Machine Guns against Fraxium match. Yeah, no, it's better for them to be going to the main roster. Also, I wonder if them having Motor City Machine Guns come straight to the main roster was after they, basically, after they lost the Lucha Bros. Again, that's what I'm thinking. Prince Vegeta with the $9.99. I rewatched REC for the first time today, and it was awesome. Definitely now in my top 15 horror films. As a horror fan, have you seen it, and what's your favorite found footage horror movie? No, I haven't, actually. I haven't seen that one. And my favorite found footage horror movie is Cloverfield. Bar none. Jerome Eugenio with the 20. Happy birthday weekend. Thanks for all the content. Without your podcast, I would have lost touch with wrestling a long time ago. Well, I'm glad that you're still in touch with wrestling. There's a lot of good wrestling out there. There's a lot of bad wrestling out there. There's a lot more good wrestling out there. And if I am the conduit to that for you, then I feel very good about that. So, Jerome, thank you. Sidro. Sidro was busy even earlier in the stream. I almost missed this one. By the way, George, if you're still with me, thank you for the five, George. Sidro says, my son has been eating electrical cords. What do I do? Ground him until he conducts himself properly. Also, kitchen remodelers are counterproductive. What am I going to do with you? What am I going to do with you? I don't know. All right, so now we're caught up with the early ones. Now we can get back to our list here. Joey says, oh, God, drink. Let me tell you something. If you're going to do a drinking game to these Sidro jokes, Don't blame me when you get alcohol poisoning, okay? You better have 911 on speed dial. Well, I guess you don't really need 911 on speed. It's three fucking numbers. What do you need 911 on speed dial? Although I will tell you, I called 911 a few weeks ago. I witnessed a really bad accident. It was actually when I was coming out of Beetlejuice. Came out of the theater, and an SUV collided with a motorcyclist. And I saw the motorcycle guy. He was laying on the ground in the middle of the road. I thought he was dead. And me and a couple of other people, we go over just to see if he's still, you know, moving. And I go to call 911. And what do I get? What am I greeted by when I call 911? A recording. It was something like, thank you for calling 911. I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? I need a person. I need a live human being. The first time I've had to call 911. I'm glad I didn't need to get somebody right away. Thankfully, there were other people calling as well, and the cops were there literally within like 3 minutes. I don't know what happened to the guy, but it didn't look good. Holiday 197, hey Solo, what are your thoughts on a Gunther versus John Cena match for the World Heavyweight Championship at WrestleMania 41? Gunther should go over. I think it's a very good possibility. I mean, if it were me, though, I would wait until SummerSlam, make it a big SummerSlam match. I just don't think you go right into Cena going for the championship if he's going to be around the whole year. And my fear, if they do that, is that he's going to win. And then they want him to have another run throughout the year holding the championship, even though he's not going to be full-time. He's working 30 dates. He's committed to, like, 30 dates for the year. But I've said this numerous times, John Cena has not won a singles match on TV. He's not won a televised singles match in 6 or 7 years. You've got to tell that story first, where he's trying to get back to his winning ways. And I think at WrestleMania, he finally wins. You know, he wins a big match at WrestleMania, and from there, he can go on to beat a bunch of other people en route to challenging Gunther, let's say, assuming he's still the champion. And you do that match at SummerSlam next year. But could it happen at WrestleMania? Yeah. Yeah, it could very well happen at WrestleMania. David Thering with the 12. Hey, Justin with a gifted membership. Justin's like, man, I'm not even going to try to compete with these two guys here. I'm just going to gift one membership. And the lucky recipient is Chile de Con Artist. Congratulations. You have been gifted a membership by Justin. David Thering says Fire Panda wins tonight. Apparently, YouTube is not happy with me and is cutting me off with the membership donations. Feel free to jump. Jump in, everybody, if you are so inclined. 168 gifted as of this moment. Actually, by now, the total's probably closer to 200. I haven't checked it, but trying to think what the single night record is, if we've already broken it. I want to say the single night record might be 200. So we might not be there yet, but if not, we're getting very close. I think we're getting close. 169. Okay, we're at 169. And we're not there yet, but we're close. Chris Mikesell says, happy birthday, early birthday, much love. Thank you, Chris. Thank you very much. Ian, any reason as to why Hikuleo is going to NXT instead of the main roster with the rest of the bloodline? Is he more green than his brothers despite also being in New Japan? Yes, but I just think it's more a case of how many bloodline members can you possibly have on the main roster at any one time? It's just overkill. Where does he even go? Where does he go? He should go with his brothers. Okay, so now you have Solo and Tama and Tongaloa and Jacob Fatu and Hikuleo. It's ridiculous. Like, it's overload. It's too much. I'm in favor of sending him to NXT. And depending on where the bloodline story goes, there may be a much better time 6 months from now to plug him in. People are going to turn on each other. The bloodline might lose members. And when it looks like, man, the bloodline is finally falling apart, boom, there's this 6'8" Tongan who shows up, right? You don't have to just dump him in the bloodline right away. You got to just stop and ask yourself, does he fit? Where does he fit into this? I don't think he fits in there right now. Pisco 95, AJ's injury angle may be to set up a storyline leading to his retirement. A veteran past his prime who can't compete like he used to can be an interesting story. That is, if AJ is planning to retire. I don't believe he is. So that's the thing. I mean, I can't imagine he's retiring anytime soon. Could it be an interesting story? I mean, it could be if you play it right and you want that sympathy factor. I think AJ is well-liked enough. I'm sure they can make it work. But yeah, I don't know. I don't know where this whole injury storyline is going. Mr. Noob, what is Drew going to do after the PLE? I don't see them moving him with no match stipulation. I laid it all out before, my friend. I would move him over to SmackDown via trade between the two GMs. I think it's the right move to make. The Juliet, no, I didn't. I literally just answered his super chat. Becom, see clearly. Good night, Solo. Thanks for the membership. Well, you're welcome. Don't thank me. Thank one of these fine folks here. Justin G and Fire Panda and David Thiering and M Mills and everybody who's been gifting like crazy here. I don't know if we've hit our record yet, but again, we're pretty damn close. We are pretty damn close. CJ LaChapelle with the 5. Congrats to your Mets, pal, but they better take advantage of this chance. My Braves will be back for revenge next season. Well, your Braves put up a valiant fight, and God knows that the Braves have certainly given us a lot of very sleepless nights in the past, so I would like to think that it's kind of our turn and we're due, but it's also the Mets, so I know this could go very badly very quickly. The Phillies are the favorites. Look, the Phillies are the favorites going into this, and I think that's how you have to look at it, but if I wanted to put money down on this series, and I won't, but if I did, it just feels like momentum is on our side. The come-from-behind wins, a very scrappy team. Now, you can't count them out, even if they're down in the late innings. So, it just has a different feel this year. AJ was not hurt for real. It was a storyline. Where that storyline is going, we don't know, but it was a storyline. Justin G, Tez does DIY a favor by splashing Tongaloa. De no better. Well, to be fair, I mean, it wasn't that he was necessarily doing them a favor. I mean, he was taking out one half of the tag team champions. I mean, it's one of his opponents. So he had a vested interest in taking out Tongaloa. Nick Grasso, seeing the dumpster again reminded me of that great spot with Mick Foley and Terry Funk when the New Age Outlaws tossed them off the stage with JR yelling, "There's people in there." That's a very memorable angle. That was the whole show, I think, was built around that. In the aftermath of that, it was a very believable angle, and Jim Ross had a lot to do with really putting it over the top. That was a great illustration of how effective and how powerful great commentary can be on an angle like that. Ian Noel with the 15. I feel a shakeup needs to happen for some people. Thoughts on moving AJ to Raw and Drew to SmackDown? Is there an echo in here? Like, gives SmackDown a new top heel for Cody and Roman and gives AJ a chance for new matchups such as Gunther. You know, Ian, that's a great idea. I support that idea wholeheartedly. I wish I would have thought of that. Thank you, brother. Manuel Macias. How much longer do you think Cody and Roman will be the top guys for until it's Braun or Trick Williams? They're both almost 40. It can't last forever due to age. It's going to be a while. It's going to be a few years. Cody and Roman are not going anywhere anytime soon. That does not mean that Braun cannot ascend to the same level. Trick Williams, it's going to take longer. Trick Williams is still, as great as Trick is, he's still a work in progress. He's not ready for that spot yet. Trick Williams will not be ready for that spot for a few more years. He's not there yet. Bron Breakker is a lot closer than Trick Williams is. I think Bron could get there as soon as next year. I think Bron against Gunther for the World Heavyweight title could very well be the direction for WrestleMania. Dev to Dust, you said you watched the first Alien movie. How was it? Also, JBL looks like Kevin Costner. Oh, I don't know about that. The first Alien movie is the best Alien movie. It's great. It's a great thriller slash horror movie. It's a classic. It's a classic for a reason. It's why there's been so many sequels made since then. King of Doug style. I like TNA, NXT working together. Do you think either company would ever be willing to put one of their titles on the other company's wrestler? If so, who? Oh, I don't know. I don't know who. I think the answer is yes. And I think it would be more likely with a women's championship. Because we see Jordynne Grace, for example, making the occasional appearance in NXT. And there just seems to be more crossover on the women's side. Like, we've seen Jordynne Grace on NXT. We've seen, even this week, I think, right? Or last week. Sol Ruka, I think, was on Impact. And we've had Tatum Paxley has been there. Wendy Chu has been there. I think that if it were going to happen, there's a better chance of it being... maybe the TNA Knockouts title ends up on a WWE woman from NXT. So I do think it's probably going to happen at some point, and I don't know who, but I think it probably would be with the women. Just because there just seems to be more back and forth on the ladies' side between the two rosters. Yeah, Rosemary is another... Right, we've seen her on NXT a lot recently with Wendy Chu. The Real CSO2, I was originally thinking that when Charlotte returned, Tiffany was going to cash in after she won the title and hold it until Mania, where she would lose to Charlotte, but now I'm not so sure. Hey, it's possible, but man, I would do it tomorrow. I would have her cash in and win that championship tomorrow. All that does, if you play it out the way that you just suggested, it's just to pad the reign of Charlotte Flair. And Charlotte will win the title at some point, and she should have a proper run with it. This bullshit where she'll win it and then immediately drop it. If they do that, again, it's just to get her that much closer to 16. Like, it does nothing for me. That now you're just getting into, like, oh, let's just pad her resume to get her closer to the magic number that I personally don't give a shit about. I don't see what purpose that serves. DEH Sires, the women need mid-card titles, especially with Stephanie Vicaire, Julia, and Roxanne coming up in the next year or two with Meechan, Chelsea, Kyrie, Jade, Piper, Lyra, and Zoe. Well, look, it's why I said it the other night. I'm in support of at least one women's mid-card title. Introduce one. And let's see how it goes. You could always introduce a second one at some point. I mean, I'm generally not in favor of adding more titles to the titles they already have, but I think that they have enough women that they could support it, but it really does come down to the booking. You know, Triple H is not always, a bed of roses when it comes to the booking of the women. I mean, people love... Yeah, there are some people out there who just love the smell of Triple H's farts, and they'll put him over for anything and everything, but he is not the Magic Man. And the women's booking in a lot of cases leaves a lot to be desired. So if you're going to introduce a women's mid-card title, then you better be prepared to have the creative to support it, or else it's just going to be another title for the sake of having a title. You still need compelling stories. You need to use the right people in those roles. Those titles could help elevate some of the women in that division, give them something to do, meaningful, but also help elevate them. The creative has to support the introduction, though, of any new championship. We saw what happened with the women's tag team titles, right? Need I say more? I don't want that to happen if they introduce an intercontinental title for the women. I don't want it to go the same way. I don't want to turn around in a year and say, man, get rid of this thing. It's completely useless. Get rid of it. Chunk it. But I'm in favor of the idea. You know, they have a lot of women on the roster right now. Forget all the women you just mentioned in NXT that haven't even come up yet. They have a lot of women right now. Many of them aren't doing anything, or they aren't doing anything interesting. Melek Gaming. Love your stuff, Solid Monster. Your reviews make watching wrestling a little bit easier. That was one of Melek's early super chats. Thank you again. RDS Harry, happy early birthday, brother. Number one podcaster. Thank you, Harry. CJ, you don't want to see Bayley win the championship back? If so, why not? I love Bayley. Because been there, done that, and her run this year was very underwhelming. I have no interest in seeing another Bayley run this year. Sorry. Doesn't interest me. Arabian Knight, who wins the Rumble? It's looking like Rock or maybe Cena, which I'm not a fan of. Realistically, though, who else would win? There were some people, and I was not one of these people, but there were some people who thought that Ilya Dragunov had a shot. He could be like a wild card, or not a wild card, but like a dark horse pick to win and then go on to wrestle Gunther at WrestleMania. I didn't think that was realistic, but you can count him out. He tore his ACL, so he's not going to be around for a while. You know, as far as who would I have on a short list of people who I think have a real shot at winning, I mean, you named a couple right there, Rock, Cena. Cena's going to be in the Rumble. We know that already. And if he's in the Rumble, he's automatically going to be one of the favorites. If they want to tell that story and have him challenge for the championship at WrestleMania, then he almost surely would have to win the Rumble. I mean, there's the Chamber, I guess, but more likely he would win the Rumble. I don't think you can totally count out Sami Zayn, even though he is right now about to challenge Gunther on Monday for the championship. I think he would have to be on the shortlist. I think that Braun Breaker should be on that list as well of possibilities. As far as picking a winner, I can't. It's still too early. I'm not rock solid on any one person right now. We got to get a little bit closer. I need to see where things are going to settle story-wise as we get closer to War Games and coming out of War Games. And then I'll have a better sense of things. It's kind of up in the air right now. Cinnamon dried chicken without flavor. Uncle Howdy's next victim options: Drew McIntyre, Pete Dunne, or Karrion Kross. Oh God, the final testament. I guess that would make sense, though, right? You get the Wyatt Six in there with another heel group instead of American Made. It's the final testament. I could see that. Melek Gaming, all hail Gunthar. Here's hoping your Mets and my Phillies have a great NLDS. Yes, I hope it is a very enjoyable series. I hope I get to see some of it. I just hate that I'm going to be working during most of the games, but hopefully I'll get to check out at least part of it. Shout out to Nier. I saw Nier in the chat before. Thank you, brother, for the super chat. I appreciate it very much. Always appreciate it. I hope you are safe and doing well. Cinnamon dry chicken without flavor. We enter the wrestling twilight zone. WWE Kenny Omega, AEW Rhea Ripley, and TNA Randy Orton. How do you feel about this wrestling Twilight Zone? I don't know what you mean by that. You just named three different people and called it the Twilight Zone, but I'm not really sure what you're asking me. I do like that trio, though. WWE Wrestling and Gaming, what does Punk do after Hell in a Cell? I think you get him ready for Seth Rollins. But I mean, if he has to feud with somebody else in the meantime, who would I have him working with? Well, it's got to be somebody that he could beat. I don't think you're going to beat Punk going into WrestleMania. So, that, you know, you'd have to find somebody who, you know, doesn't have to come out on the winning end of that. I was going to say Chad Gable. I just think Punk and Gable, man, I really think that match could be very good. But Gable's at a point now where, I mean, he can't afford to keep losing like this. That's the only thing stopping me from saying Chad Gable, honestly. I don't know. I just keep thinking of Rollins, but that would be WrestleMania. So you probably don't want to go to it that quickly, probably. Darius Roby, Gunther and Punk, says Bliss Fan. That was a rumor, wasn't it? I guess, yeah, you know what? I guess maybe Gunther. I think that was the rumor for Survivor Series. Maybe that is the direction. Maybe it's Punk and Gunther. Darius says, poop jokes aren't my favorite, but they are a solid number two. Well played. You always want a solid number two. That's healthy. Sidro, puns about poop are not my favorite, but they are a solid... Wait a minute now. Is Sidro stealing jokes? Has Sidro been exposed? What is going on here? The world hasn't been this stunned since Milli Vanilli got exposed for lip syncing. Melick Gaming, with a $100 super chat from earlier. Oh, from JD. Okay. I see. So he took it from Sidro's super chat on a different channel. I see. Sidro starts his Amy Schumer arc. Melik though says, I don't know if this was answered already, but what are your thoughts on the AEW TV rights deal? Again, I don't know if Melik's with us anymore, but I am going to talk more extensively about that on the podcast. That'll be one of the top stories on episode 882. But just to sum it up, I think it's a great deal for AEW. There are some negatives to talk about, not so much about the deal itself, but just about AEW as it currently exists and going forward. We'll again get into that more on Sunday, but I think that as far as the money that monetary figures that have been thrown around and some of the details about the streaming component on Max, all positives. You know, the streaming component, I mean, it had to be a part of this. It would have been severely underwhelming for it not to be. So I think on the whole, it's very good for AEW, but as far as all the details and the pros and cons, no pun intended, 882 this Sunday. I'm going to get into it on the podcast. Avatar, Chelsea was a hot mess after that match. Very good, Avatar. Very good. Very well played. WWE Wrestling and Gaming, who does Cena face at WrestleMania? Well, there's a good chunk of you guys who think it's going to be Gunther for the World Heavyweight title, which I'm hoping they don't go to it that quickly. See, I think you got to do Cena and Randy Orton in 2025. The question is that a WrestleMania match, or do you save it for his last match? Should Randy Orton be John Cena's final opponent in December of 2025? It can't be both. You either do WrestleMania or you save it for the end of the year. I would lean towards saving it for the end of the year. But I do think that Randy Orton has got to be in the top two favorites to get that spot against Cena at WrestleMania. It's hard to believe that Cena and Orton have never had a singles match at WrestleMania before. They've had a triple threat, but they've never had a singles. For all their matches, they never had a singles match at WrestleMania. So there is that kind of lure. Like, we could finally have a Cena-Orton WrestleMania match. I might lean towards doing it there, honestly. And then Melek, again, with that last $50 super chat. And you killed it tonight. Thank you, man. J.R. Vischer, has there ever been a women's casket match? I can't recall. Not in WWE, but if there was one somewhere else, like in TNA or something, I'm not aware of it. I don't think so. None that I can recall. I'm trying to think, even like Lucha Underground, they had the Grave Consequences match, which was their version of a casket match. I don't remember there being a women's one. Boots, have you played the horror game Until Dawn? No. No, I have not. Mr. Noob, when they split the men's tag titles, was it for creative reasons or were they just trying to sell merch? It doesn't make any sense. Your thought is as good as anyone's. I don't know the answer to it. I was crowing about the fact that they don't have depth enough on either show to sustain separate tag team titles again. And here we are. And I've been proven right. I don't know why they did it. I don't know why. You got to build up the division enough to where you can have a strong division on one show, a strong division on the other show, and then you can consider having two sets of titles. Now we have two sets of titles, and look at the scene. Look at the tag team scene right now. It just doesn't make sense. Just doesn't. How often do we even see Finn Balor and JD McDonagh defending those titles on Raw? I mean, it's ridiculous. It's like the Young Bucks going 4 months before they finally defended their belts. The Hua Moa Banana? The hell is that? Sidro, double cheeseburger is not fat, it's big bun. That may be your worst one yet. Hype Man Slimy, if you were a wrestler, would you be a face or a heel? Well, I'm a babyface commissioner right now. If I were a wrestler, I would be a heel. I think it would be easier for me to get heat. I could really piss people off. The Real CS, I actually like Cross's character. The devil on people's shoulder stuff is the most interesting thing that he's done in a while. Yeah, I'm not saying that's not interesting. It's just, you know, then the bell rings. And this Final Testament stuff, whether it's him, whether it's AOP, it's just not cutting it. Steve Mello, my boy Steve, why didn't Lifeguard Solomonster save the hippie? Because he was too far out, man. Happy early birthday. Thanks for all the great content. Thank you, Steve. You've gone full Sidro. Never go full Sidro. Base Beerus, who's got more momentum, LA Knight or Joe Hendry? I don't know if you could see the crowd in Queens last weekend. Joe Hendry, he's still got a lot of momentum. See, momentum is a funny thing. Momentum is fleeting. You know, it comes, it goes. Who has more momentum of the two of them? Do you hear the crowds every time LA Knight's music hits? But Joe Hendry has gone mainstream this year. Like, he went viral and took off in a way that even LA Knight hasn't. So, who has more momentum right now? I'm going to say LA Knight, because he's on television every week in front of millions of people. He's the United States champion. You know, you hear the reactions he gets every time he comes out. Joe Hendry is still pretty high up there. He's still doing well for himself. I think we'll see him in NXT before long. Navy 4181, will there ever be another Chris Van Vliet Solo Monster 2? Electric Boogaloo. I hope so. Yeah, that's up to Chris. But we did one back in 2021 when everybody was still stuck at home, I think. And it is up on his channel. That was from a few years ago. So yeah, I'd love to do a part two with him one day on his channel. Braun Braun, Cena should win the Intercontinental title at WrestleMania. Why? Because he hasn't held it before? I don't know. I've had a few people suggest that to me. Maybe I'm not seeing what you're seeing. I don't think it's necessary. I think there is a championship story to tell with him, but it's not the Intercontinental title. Base Beerus says, buy or sell Monty Brown or the Pope? Monty Brown had, I think, main event potential. He had that level of charisma. I think he could have been a main event player. And the Pope, I think Pope was really good. I never saw in the Pope what I saw in Monty Brown, from what I can remember of him. The Pope obviously had a longer, better career, though, than Monty Brown had. So it's like, how do I judge this? Do I judge it based on potential and what might have been, or do I judge on what was? If I judge on what was, then the Pope wins. If I judge on what I think could have been, I would go Monty Brown. Near, buy or sell Omega versus Styles at WrestleMania or Okada against Nakamura? Omega against Styles. Buy on that, sell on Okada and Nakamura. I think the Nakamura that people remember from New Japan 10 years ago, that Nakamura is dead and gone. He's not ever coming back. And I think that's the image that people have in their heads when they come up with some of these like fantasy matches for him. Not realizing that Nakamura doesn't exist anymore. He's left that in the past. It's gone. It's over. Ian with the 4. TNA Ali against Su Yung in Last Rites, a.k.a. Casket Match. Okay, so there you go. I said I wasn't sure if maybe they did it in TNA. And I guess they did. So there's your women's casket match. Visa. Been a while. Just stopping in to say hi. Hi. Hi back. Good to have you. It has been a while. Haven't heard that name in a while. Manuel says, what's your guess for obvious Mania matches? I got Rollins and Punk, Cena and Logan Paul, Braun and Gunther. Maybe the WWE title match is hard to predict. Well, WrestleMania is either Rock and Cody or Rock and Roman. I'm going to guess Rock and Cody. So I think it's Rock and Cody, Rollins and Punk. Cena and Logan Paul's another one. I didn't mention that before, but I think that's a definite possibility. So, yeah, I think Rollins, Punk, Cena, Logan Paul, Braun and Gunther, based on Monday, at this moment, put a gun to my head and ask me, I think Gunther and Braun is probably the WrestleMania direction. I think Charlotte and Tiffany. for the Women's Championship would be another one. I think that Rhea Ripley... we still have to get that Rhea Bianca match at WrestleMania, but nothing's been done to indicate to me that we're going to get it in Las Vegas. But all it would take is, Bianca winning the Royal Rumble or the Chamber, picking Rhea. It just feels to me like they're setting up for Bianca and Jade. So I don't know what Rhea's going to do, but I would say Bianca and Jade, Charlotte and Tiffany would be like the two key women's matches. And base beer is buy or sell Great Dane or Great Khali. Ha ha ha. I'm not a dog guy. You're asking me the wrong question. But I will never vote for Great Khali. So I'm going to go Great Dane. Final answer. And the Winston slip has a message coming in. There it is. Punk versus AJ Punk. Wait a minute. Punk versus AJ Punk or Punk versus what? Who's AJ Punk? Punk versus AJ or Punk versus Kevin Owens? I think Punk and KO is the way to go of the two. Two men, by the way, in AJ and Kevin Owens who don't have a lot of love for CM Punk based on their past interactions together many years ago. But I think Punk and KO, I think the promos alone would be gold. That's the match that would get my vote. All right, we are currently at 482 likes. We are closing in on 500. Can we actually hit 500 before we get out of here live? I mean, we're definitely going to hit it, but can we hit it before we end the live stream? That would be very cool if we can. You guys killed it with the messages and the support. I thank you for that. It's a great way to kick off what's going to be a very busy weekend. But before I tell you about it, let's go ahead and be the booker.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is now time to be the booker.
You guys earned it. We smashed the goal tonight. That means we get to book some matches. We've had some very interesting installments of Be the Booker recently. What could go wrong? What could go wrong? Well, well, well. Hot off their tag team championship victory tonight, it is the Gorillas of Destiny, Tama Tonga and Tonga Loa from their Bullet Club days. How about the timing on this one? We got the Bloodline kicking us off here. You can't get away from these guys. They're everywhere. They're everywhere. You cannot escape the Bloodline. They're going to be taking on Tyler Breeze and Fandango. Peter said buzzer before I even picked the opponent. I take it Peter is not a fan of Tonga Loa. Well, the buzzer either way. That is a loser of a match. I am not giving a bell to a match with Fandango and Tonga Loa. You can fuck right off with that. Women's Be the Booker. Here we go. Somebody was just asking me about WrestleMania matches. Let's book a women's WrestleMania match. How about that? We're going to book the card here for WrestleMania with the women. Women's WrestleMania match. And we begin with the Hall of Famer. I like where this is going. Trish Stratus is back at WrestleMania, baby. Trish Stratus. Who will Trish Stratus be taking on at WrestleMania? I don't know. Let's see. Very interesting. Trish Stratus against Becky Lynch at WrestleMania. Now I'm going to give that the bell because that is a WrestleMania caliber women's match, but we've already seen it. That's the problem. But the last time they were in the ring together, they had that incredible cage match, right? It was a payback, I think, last year. Actually, I think it was a year ago, last month. So now we're back to Trish and Becky again. I mean, you got to give that the bell. Come on now. That cage match was fucking great. You got to admit. The build-up and the segments on TV were not. They were anything but. But the cage match delivered for sure. You got to give them their props. All right, main event time. Main event. You know what? Maybe we should pick a stipulation for the main event. What do you think? You want to pick a stip? I think we should pick a stip for the main event. Let's do that. Let's start with a stipulation. I'm in a stipulation kind of mood. This main event will be a strap match. Okay, so now we know what we're dealing with here. We're dealing with a strap match. So let's see who is going to be in this strap match. It's kind of important to find out. We begin with Pete Dunne. Don't call him Butch. The Bruiserweight. All right. Okay. He hasn't been used as a main eventer on TV, but he's a main eventer tonight. Pete Dunne in a strap match against Bret the Hitman Hart. I like it. I like it. You know, Bret Hart and Pete Dunne, I think, with Pete doing all of his joint manipulation stuff and the way that Bret used to sell, I actually think that would be an excellent match. And then you throw in the strap match stipulation. Bret'll make anything work. But let's not discount Pete Dunne. I mean, he's no slouch. That's great. All right, 2 out of 3. 2 out of 3. We only got screwed over by Tongaloa. 2 out of 3 is not bad at all. And the final super chat I see here is from Base Beerus. Gonna get the last word. Buy or sell The Miz or Mike Awesome? The Miz or Mike Awesome? I mean, The Miz obviously had a much better career than Mike Awesome had. The Miz is gonna be in the Hall of Fame one day. The Miz has held every championship there is to hold, basically, more or less. Mike Awesome, actually, the thing with Mike Awesome, though, I mean, his matches were more fun. Like the matches with Masato Tanaka, who we're bringing in, by the way, to House of Glory in a few weeks. He is still wrestling. The matches with Masato Tanaka, for example, are like the stuff of legend. And his finish was awesome. Literally. It was the Awesome Bomb. I want to say Mike Awesome, but I mean, again, if you're comparing careers, it depends what you're asking me here. If you compare careers, there is no comparison. The Miz by any measure, okay, has had an incredible career. You don't have to like him. You don't have to think that he's your favorite or anything like that. He's not in your top 10, your top 20, maybe not even in your top 50. But you look at the longevity that he's had, and you look at the success that he's had, and he's another one of these guys. He's a utility player where they can plug him in any role they may need him to be in. If they need him in a tag team, he could be a tag team wrestler. If they need him as a single, he could be a singles, heel, babyface. Doesn't matter. They needed him on NXT this week, so they had a Miz TV segment. So he held court. He was the host of the segment with Oba Femi and with Tony D'Angelo, right? He's very useful in that way. So The Miz, and then you see who he married. I mean, lucky son of a bitch. I mean, The Miz has had quite a career for himself. So I have to give him credit for that. He headlined WrestleMania, says Kevin. Yes, he did. He should not have. But yes, he did. Justin G, buy, rent, sell, Miz, Super Porky, or El Dandy? I don't know about the rest, but I'm buying on El Dandy. Because who the fuck are you to doubt that man? And the real CS, AJ Styles, for the TNA Hall of Fame. Is he not, already in there? Yeah, absolutely. He should already be in there. He should be like a first ballot TNA Hall of Famer. Him and Samoa Joe and Abyss, who I think is already in there. All those guys. Jeff Jarrett. Mike Tenay. Don West. Gail Kim. Awesome Kong. Motor City Machine Guns. Bobby Roode. I mean, there's so many. Kurt Angle. I mean, there's so many people who belong in there. So, tomorrow, 6 p.m. Eastern. Remember, it's an early start time for a WWE PLE. It will be the Bad Blood post-show. As soon as the show is over, I will be live on YouTube to recap it all, including Hell in a Cell between these two men, CM Punk and Drew McIntyre, which it sounds like may open the show. Although I think that decision may not be finalized until tomorrow. And Cody Rhodes has been very cryptic with some of these teases. He was on Pat McAfee's show the other day, and he was talking about how this show could have big implications for the WWE Championship and going into WrestleMania. He was dropping all kinds of like cryptic little hints. So I think something is definitely going down tomorrow. That could very well be why their match may main event the show. Is The Rock going to show up? I don't know. I would suggest that if they close the show with that tag team match, it's for a reason. It's because there's going to be some kind of a big angle. So I have a feeling it's going to be a newsworthy show tomorrow. So you'll definitely want to come back to the channel and be here for the review. Base Beerus says, rest in peace, Daphne. She was great. She was. Daphne was great. The Scream Queen. Very sad what happened to her. And yeah, if you want Bad Blood predictions, they're already up on the channel. I did them on the podcast last weekend. So we didn't do them here, but they are already up on the channel. There is a separate video for that. It's about 10 minutes long. Not very long at all. You can go check it out if you want to know my predictions for the show tomorrow. I don't know if I mentioned it in the predictions, but especially after tonight, I do think and I am hoping that we get a cash in from Tiffany Stratton. So if I didn't mention that, I'm mentioning it now. But that's it. That's all I got for you guys. Thank you for kicking off my birthday weekend in a big way. Makes me very happy. And I will see you guys back here in less than 24 hours for the Bad Blood review. So until then, be well. Stay safe. Bring the heat tomorrow. We'll get to do it all over again. Until then, take care, guys. I'll see you tomorrow.